Good morning and greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We apologize this morning for being a little bit late this morning. But we had some things going on in the house and in my little area here. We had some constructions and all that stuff. So things got moved around and things got shifted around and so on. So this morning we're so glad you could join us in worship and praise unto the name of the Lord. We just want to make sure that we are transmitting on the internet. Just checking all these dials, you know how it is, and this morning, making sure everything is connected on and everything is set up correctly. So once again, just want to check. So once again, greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're so glad that you could join us this morning to worship the Lord, to call upon His name, to sit at His feet this morning, to give Him glory, to give Him honor, to give Him worship, to give Him praise. And this morning, those are on the internet, we greet you. Those are on the telephone hookup, we greet you. We say welcome once again. And we're praying that God will bless you and touch you and give you grace and wisdom and understanding and touch your body this morning.
Amen.
Praise God. So this morning we want to start with a psalm. We like to read Psalms number 1. Very familiar psalm this morning. Psalms number 1. Praise God. So, let's see. The mic is not... We're not getting enough volume here. Let me just notch it up a little more. Praise God, amen. We seem to be low volume. Praise God, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Praise God. A little too much now. Praise God, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God, amen. Praise God. Okay, Psalms, the first Psalm. Praise God. Turn the volume down a little. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Lord, amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the shaft which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. Praise God. So this morning, can we approach the throne of grace this morning? Hallelujah. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how grateful we are, Lord, on this resurrection morning, the first day of the week, to be in the land of the living, Lord, to have activities of our limbs, have activities of our hands, Lord, our feet. Lord, it's your grace to us this morning that we're here, Lord God, and we want to devote this time to call upon your name, Lord, to sit at your feet, O Lord Jesus, look upon your face, to sing praises, to worship, to glorify your name, and then to hear what you have to say unto us this morning so that our lives, Lord God, will be closer drawn to you this morning, Lord, and for the remainder of the week and moving forward, Father. Lord, forgive us for our mistakes. Lord, there are many. Lord, we have failed you many times. We have made lots of mistakes. And during this week, Lord, the ups and the downs and the sickness and the trials, the tribulation. But Lord, it's all now behind us. We ask for your forgiveness, your mercy, Lord. As a father pitieth his children, so that the Lord pitieth those that call upon his name. That's your word, Lord. And we're thankful for that promise. And this morning, Lord, we come to praise you. Give us strength in our limbs this morning. We are tired and pain and Lord, but we come to praise you and come to worship you. So, Father, take all things, Lord God, now in your hands. We pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we are a little bit late, Lord, but Father, may you take all things now and help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we cast all the demons out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, Jesus' name. We cast all the demons out in Jesus' name, oh, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, Jesus' name. We cast all the demons out in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we cast all the demons out in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're so glad to start our service in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. Oh, I can hear the rustling on the mulberry tree, and I know, the move is on. Oh, move on, brother. Oh, move on, sister. Oh, this is the moving day. Oh, move a little closer, oh, while the streams are flowing. Move on, brother, move on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. Oh, is on, my Lord, the move is on. One can hear the rustling mulberry tree, and I know the move is on. Oh, move on, brother. Oh, move on, sister. Oh, this is the moving day. Oh, move a little closer while the streams are flowing. Move on, brother, move on. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're here to worship the Lord. We're here to praise him, to give him glory, to sing and worship and give him glory and honor. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way. For the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all in this, that the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. It's hymn number 238 and Only Believe. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet, and the Comforter abides with me. And he abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. He is with me everywhere, and He knows my every care. I'm happy as a bird that just set free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. And He abides, hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Oh, there's no thirsting for the things of the world, they taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides, He abides, hallelujah, He abides with me. Rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, oh, the Comforter abide with me. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Comforter abides with me. And who is that Comforter? It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord and our King. Amen, amen. Let's sing this song, I'm So Glad That Jesus Lifted Me. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. And I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, singing glory, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus lifted me. And the devil had me bound, but Jesus set me free. The devil had me bound, but Jesus set me free. The devil had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. And I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus lifted me. And I'm on my way to heaven. I'm shouting the victory. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm shouting the victory. I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, shouting the victory. Singing glory, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. And I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, singing glory, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus lifted me. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing the song as we are about to transition over to the reading of the word and to hear what the Lord has to say. Let's sing the song, I love him because he first loved me. Amen. Oh, I love him. I love him because he love me and purchase my salvation on Calvary. One more time. Very. And I love Jesus. Amen. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary. And Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And He's just the same, praise His holy name, and that's the reason why I love Him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and I love Him. Yes, I love Him. He's the only one true lover of my soul. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord. Amen. Praise God. This morning, we like to open our Bible to a scripture reading this morning. Hallelujah. We like to read from three portions of scripture. We are in the book of Revelations. And over the last three services, we have been preaching on the revelation, in the book of Revelation, the revelation of the seventh seal. Amen. And this morning we like to read again from Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, and Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 to 7. Praise the name of the Lord. So let's read from the book of Revelation chapter 1. We like to read from verse 1. Praise God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. And let's read up to verse 3. Revelation chapter 1, verse. Praise God. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, reading from verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must surely come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep these things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I just like to point out a few things here this morning. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So after the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, ascended unto heaven, there was a revelation that was given unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he can come back and show unto his servants things must surely come to pass, before he returned the second time. And then after that, all the way until the New Jerusalem and into eternity. And if you notice here, this is our inspiration that we're looking at this morning, is that there's a blessing here for he that reading. And there's a blessing who hear or listen to the words of the prophecy of this book. And those that are keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. And this morning, that's why we are approaching this topic this morning. Amen. Let us now read for Revelation chapter 8. Let us read only one verse, Revelation chapter 8. And you know, in Revelation chapter 6 and 7, those were the seals that were the six seals that were broken. And what was revealed under that sixth seal, or what John actually saw when these seals were broken, Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 7. And now we're in Revelation chapter 8. And what we have preached before, that number 8 is a holy convocation, it's back to the first day again. Amen. So in Revelation chapter 8, a holy convocation back onto that first day again, the first verse. Let's read. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's read Revelation 10. And like we like to read from Revelation 10, chapter 10, verse 1 to 7. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as the pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up these things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and forever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. I just want you to notice here that when this great mighty angel we will recognize as the Lord Jesus coming down upon the earth, rainbow on his head. Amen. Now John recognized him as the Lord Jesus, but he recognized him as a messenger now. Here the Lord was bringing a message. Praise God. And when he cried with a loud voice, a lion like a lion roared. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when, these thunders were about to utter their voices, John was about to write it, what these thunders said and what he saw. And the angel told him, nope, seal it up until the time of the end. But in the days of the voice of the angel, amen, praise God. Let us pray this morning after we read God's word. Father God, we have just read your word, and it is, Lord, it is life unto us, Lord. And Lord, anyone could read the scripture. Anyone could take up the Bible and read it, Father, but only you could come forth out of the pages of this scripture, Lord God, and quicken the words to our heart. Lord, I pray this morning, O Lord, that you touch us. Touch me also, Lord, as I try to bring this word, Lord. There's so many quotes that is, Lord, overflowing. But Lord God, if you'll bring the main points to the people, that they could understand what is taking place in this world today. We ask these things, Lord, knowing that you will bless them. And those that are sick and afflicted, may you heal them. And touch them this morning, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen and amen. I'd like to give the title of my message this morning, or my little exhortation, or as an local elder, The message this morning, we are continuing the study on the seventh seal of Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. We are continuing that study this morning, and we're going to label this study this morning, the seventh seal, and this is part 3 message. And the seventh seal, part 3, the seven thunders under the seventh seal. Amen. So when you will find out that when you ripped open the seventh seal, under that seventh seal, there were seven thunders banging itself out together of Revelation 10:7. Amen. Revelation 10:1-7. Praise God. And what is our subject this morning? Subject is Christ, Jesus Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Jesus Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Amen. You know the whole Bible is the Lord Jesus. You know from Genesis right down to Revelation, it is revealing the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the very image of the Father, who is the very essence of the Father. Sorry. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the very love, charity that came out of the Father. Amen. So this morning again, what was our inspiration? What is driving us to understand or to seek? And this morning it really struck me in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, where it's saying here, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the prophecies of this, the words of this prophecy, and keep these things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So our inspiration this morning is coming from that scripture, because we want to understand the times. We want to see what God has given unto Jesus Christ our Lord, and has revealed it to his servants, what must surely come to pass. We want to see, understand the times and the signs of the coming of the Lord and of this prophecy. So that's our inspiration this morning. Sorry. That's our inspiration this morning to to seek after what God has laid out and given as a revelation unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning I just want to introduce myself for those who would come on the archives, or those who are listening on the internet from a foreign country or from another church or whatever it may be. I introduce myself. My name is Brother Virgil Sipasad. I'm the local elder at the Bride Age Christian Fellowship. And we are a group of individuals that love the Lord Jesus. We are a group of individuals that are looking for his coming. We are a group of individuals that believe in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God has sent a messenger just as John the Baptist forerunned the first coming of Christ. We believe there was a messenger with a message that is forerunning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God never changes his plan. Never changes his word, I mean. Never changes. We serve an unchanging God. He is steadfast. Oh yes, things may change. Our bodies change. People's minds may change. But Jesus Christ... But Jesus Christ never changed, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we believe that God has sent, just like in John the Baptist's days, he sent a messenger before his face to prepare the way. We believe that God has sent a prophet in these last days. And his name is Brother William Marion Branham. And if you want to know more about Brother Branham and his message, how he fulfilled this message of Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, where he says, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. Amen. So this morning you can visit the website www.branham.org. It's the Voice of God recording, where you find Brother Branham messages, his tapes and books and videos and explanations. And if you have any questions, of course, you could send an email to Brother Joseph Branham and Brother Billy Paul Branham. These are Brother Branham's two sons who are carrying on the distribution of Brother William Marion Branham's message to the four corners of this world, to every nation under heaven. Amen. That they will hear about a prophet that has come upon the scene. Amen. So they will hear the message that this prophet has brought forth. Amen. So we believe that Brother Branham is a prophet. No, I don't want to go into all the details and how people have condemned him and people say he's a man. Yes, I agree, he was a man. But the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, directed Brother Branham what to say to the people. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ loves his bride, and he will send the best to make sure the bride understands how he's coming. Make sure that bride understand about him. You would surely, if you as a young man, you'd surely like to know, if you're a young lady and you're going to marry a young man, you go surely would like to know more about this man, what his habits are, what does he like. Does he like this type of food? Does he like a baked food? Or does he like this? Or what does he like? Well, how he would like me to dress? And you could be wondering and wondering and wondering. But there's a way for you to know how to please that young man. Or how to please that young woman. And that's then by getting maybe a friend of that young woman. Or that young man. Getting a friend of that young man to tell you his likes and dislikes. Or even asking him, what would you have me to, my Lord? What would you have me to do, my future husband, my bridegroom? Amen. And so Jesus Christ has sent a prophet, a messenger, to tell you what is his likes, what is his dislikes, to tell you what type of house he's going to build for you, what he has in store for you. He's sending a message by a prophet messenger. And if you don't listen to this prophet messenger, you will not understand what your bridegroom wants of you. You would not understand what, as we would call, your boyfriend, your husband to be, what you would not understand his likes and his dislikes and who he is and where he come from and how he would loves you. Amen. So he's portraying his love to you by sending love letters, by sending messages. And we believe that Brother William Marion Branham, almost like Eliezer in the Old Testament, when Abraham sent out a messenger to get a bride for his son Isaac, Eliezer, amen, a eunuch, amen. And but he knew what Isaac loved. He knew what type of girl Isaac would be looking into. He will also know. He cared, and he took to Rebecca, and he told Rebecca some of the things about Isaac. And Rebecca fell in love with Isaac, only hearing about him. In those days, there was no photograph. In those days, there was no text. There's no email. There's no WhatsApp that you could send a picture and see, oh, this is a nice guy. No. But what happened was Rebecca, based her love, based on understanding, number one, on the very God that called her husband to be, on the very God of Eliezer, on the very God of Abraham, Rebecca based her love and her promise on that, and based her love on to Isaac on what Eliezer was telling her about Isaac. Oh, he's a tall guy. He's a handsome guy. He was a strong guy. He loves his parents. He loves his mother. He loves his father. He calls upon the name of the Lord every day and every night. He makes whatever sacrifices unto the Lord. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He believes this. He believes the word. And it's the same way the bride of Jesus Christ have not actually seen him face to face. Sure, we watch at the Hoffman Head of Christ and we can only imagine what my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ looks like. But we have not seen him face to face. But we feel his presence. How do we feel his presence? Because his word said he will be here in spirit form. Amen. So just as a girl is sitting in a house and knowing that her boyfriend or husband-to-be is about to leave the job at 5 o'clock and he's going to come to the house maybe about 6, 6:30. Amen. She's under expectation. What is happening? What is happening is that that he is anointing her with her spirit, with his spirit, before he even gets to her. Oh, she feels him like he's near. She probably get a sniff, a smell of his perfume that he is near. But yet he's traveling. He's on his way. She's sitting there and she's feeling all cozy and wonderful and warm because she feels that his presence is coming nearer. She feels he's coming nearer. And so it is with the bride of Jesus Christ. We hear a prophet's message. We hear that he loves us. We hear that he's coming back again. We heard from a prophet message, Brother William Aaron Branham's message, that there's this buckboard, and we see this this buckboard here with the horses drawing this carriage. We see the dust in the way out in the way out in the plains. It's coming. He is coming back again. He told us what to do. He told us how to get prepared. He told us it's all written in the Word of God. Amen. It's all written there in the revealed word that the prophet brought for us this morning. And the seventh seal this morning. Amen. We want to look into that this morning. I don't have a revelation of this seventh seal, except I know it is the Lord Jesus. It's his coming and all these things. But we're going to see the quotes this morning of what Brother Branham said about the seventh seal. Why heaven was silent for about a space of half an hour. So brother and sister, if you don't know about Brother William Aaron Branham, please visit the website www.branham.org and you will see the ministry of this great man of God that has shook the world in this 20th century. Amen. And his message is still shaking this world today. This morning we can't go into all the details, but please go there. And of course, if you have a question also, you could email us at brideagechristianfellowship@gmail.com. Amen. Praise God, and we will try to help and point you back to the prophet message where you could find where it is written. So that's what we're looking at this morning. That's who we are this morning. Sure, there are people that have taken the revelation of all these things, the revelation of seven thunders, and they have God anoints his word. He anoints revelation. But when you take that revelation and make it your own and say it is me, it is mine, I'm the first one and all this stuff, then you pull the glory onto yourself and you fail to give God the glory. And we're going to talk about a lot of things this morning. Praise the quotes. We will not be able to finish it this morning, but I'm praying that God himself will come down this morning in our midst and reveal to us where it is written. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have just read the scripture where it says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. And when we continue to read Brother Branham's message, we saw where Brother Branham ties the seventh seal into, he ties it into the seven thunders. He ties it into the coming of the Lord. He ties it into how to get ready. He ties it into the third pull. And we don't have the time this morning to really go into all the details, but I want to talk about a fold of it this morning. As Brother Branham said, it's in a threefold manner. The seventh seal is in a threefold manner. This I have, it is a revelation of the seventh seal. Amen. Revelation of the seven thunders. The seven thunders will unfold the mystery at that time. Amen. Then he ties it in to the sword, the third pull, the word of the Lord. Then he ties it in also unto the statue of a perfect man. Then he ties it in also to Sirs, is this the time? Amen. Hallelujah. But, you know, time, it will take us too much time to really go into all these things. So in the last few Sundays, we looked at the seventh seal, the seven seal scroll. We explained how this book was not a book like what we read nowadays, but was a scroll. And there were seven straps around this scroll. And when you pull back the first strap, there was something that John saw, and he saw it, and he wrote. He was about to write what those seven thunders utter their voices. Many, many men under that seventh seal, and the angel told him, "Write it not, but seal it up unto the day, amen, of the end." Hallelujah. So when the strap was opened out, there was a thunder that opened up the first seal. And the thunder is always the voice of God. Amen. The Bible says the thunder is always the voice of God. So this morning, what we are looking at is that there were seven thunders uttering its voices. Oh, praise God. So remember what we talked about, that this was a scroll. Now in Revelation chapter 5, the book was sealed by seven seals. And in Revelation chapter 10, the book now is open. So that means between Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 10, the seven seal book was opened. Amen. Seven seals were broken. Amen. Revelation chapter 6 starts to tell you about the six seals that were broken. Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 7. So there you see Revelation chapter 7 was between Revelation chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 8. So Revelation chapter 6, the ending there was, if I see it rightly, Revelation there was the ending of the sixth seal. Amen. Let's look at it. Praise God. Amen. We are understanding. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So Revelation chapter 5 was a seven sealed book. Amen, amen. So Revelation chapter 6, all six seals were torn open, were broken. And when the sixth seal there was open, that before the sixth seal and before the seventh seal was torn open. Amen. There it was. We see Revelation chapter 7 that talks about, all these, the angel that was sealing the 144,000. Amen, many men. There we see, amen, praise God, that when the Revelation chapter 7 speaks about the 12 tribe of Israel, where there were going to be 12,000 sealed from each tribe. And then they talked about, then there was a vision of those who in the great tribulation who came out of the great tribulation period, the Gentiles. So we're seeing two classes of people there under Revelation chapter 7. Praise God. And there goes Revelation chapter 8. And in it there you see the breaking of that seventh seal. And last Sunday, Easter Sunday, we spoke about the breaking of the seventh seal. He is risen. Amen. Hallelujah. The whole world is hushed. The whole world had it waited in bated breath while Jesus Christ died on the cross and then went down into hell. There he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Amen. And then he rose on Easter morning. There was a period of time that no one knew what was going to happen. The world was in an uncertain condition. Would he raise again? Was the sacrifice was made? His blood was upon the earth. But then would we be redeemed by a new spirit that will come into us? Would that happen? But on resurrection morning, without a shadow of a doubt, there rose the King of Kings. There rose the very theme of the Bible from Genesis all the way there to the Old Testament. There rose the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. So Jesus Christ is risen. That was the breaking of that seventh seal to show the world that Jesus Christ once more is risen. He's risen from the dead. Brother Branham says, and I don't have, can't read all the quotes, where he says that that seventh seal, that breaking of that seventh seal, is the coming of the Lord. Amen. The time to the coming of the Lord. Amen. So this morning we want to go now into part three, where we want to talk a little bit about the revelation of the seven thunders. Now, I was saying before that some people took what Brother Branham said, all the quotes, yes, and put it together wonderfully, did it wonderfully, and preached this revelation of the seven thunders. They tied in the seven thunders to those voices of the seven church ages, messengers. They tied in these seven thunders to the voices of these angels that ministered unto Brother Branham, who represented the seven church ages. They tied in the seven thunders also into into these hidden mystery truths that was hid in the all the ages. They tied it in. And it is right, because it is written by Brother Branham. He tied it in the same way. He did not come out outright and plainly said that the seven thunders are the seven voices or the seven church ages. Amen. He didn't come out outright and say it. But it's a hidden mystery that is hidden in the Bible. That is hidden in his message, Brother Branham. Message that you could see where those voices, amen, thundering out. And without that, without those voices living in you, you cannot make the rapture. So Brother Branham is saying that the seven seal book held that mystery. Amen. And let's read from the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seal, Jeffersonville, Indiana, Sunday the 17th of March, 1963. Paragraph 29. The seven seal book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. Amen.
Amen.
I just interject here. Here is where the seventh seal book is revealed in the time of the seven thunders of Revelation. So what was Brother Branham doing? He was in his room all for the next 7 days after this. And there was an angel that represents every church age, that represents every church age in the Bible, that came and revealed unto Brother Branham the message for the hour. Reveal unto Brother Branham what? The time of the seven thunders revelation. So Brother Branham caught that revelation of the seven thunders, and it's within, it's in that seven seal book. Amen. So let's read it again. The seven seal book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelations 10. And if you mark it down, let's turn to Revelation 10 just a moment. So we'll get an understanding before we get into this. Now this is at the end time. For listen, so the mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. If you notice, that's Christ, see? Because he is in the Old Testament, was called the angel of the covenant. And he's directly coming to the Jews now, for the church is finished, see? All right. And his face, as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Remember that angel of Revelation 1? Same thing. Angel is a messenger, and he's a messenger to Israel. See, the church has been raptured, and now, or fixing to be raptured, he comes for his church. Now watch. He had in his hand a little book open, and here it was closed, see, sealed, and here it's open. It's been open since that time of the sealing we are going into tonight. Now the book's open, a little book in his hand, it was open. And wait a minute, let me start back reading here. And he had in his little book a little hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and he cried with a loud voice as when the lion roared. We know he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Over here he is a lamb, but here he is a lion. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now John was commissioned to write what he saw. So the apostle and prophet picked up his pen to write it. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now that's what we don't know. That's yet to be revealed. It's not in the Holy Script. what them thunder say. And the angels which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven. Now listen. And swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things therein, and the earth and the things therein, that there should be time no longer. Watch. Here's a verse I want to get to. But in the day of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophet. Now see, the mystery of the seventh seal book will be revealed at the sounding of the seventh angel's church, seventh church angel's message. See, the seventh angel begins to sound, and there's the message wrote out there, and we got it in tape and book form. You hear what Brother Branham is saying here? That his mysteries is when the seventh angel begins to sound. He said, what? We got it in tape and book form. Now, at the beginning of the sounding of the message, the mystery of God should be finished. See, at that time. Now, we will notice, the book of the mystery of God is not revealed until the seventh angel's message is sounded. Now, these points will be important in the seals, I'm sure, because it just must every bit tie together. See, it's wrote mysterious, because no man knoweth when it knows it. God alone, Jesus Christ. See, now it is a book, a mysterious book. It's a book of redemption. Now, we'll get into that in a little while. Now, we know that this book of redemption will not be thoroughly understood. It's probed that through six church ages. But at the end, when the seventh angel begins to sound his mystery, he winds up all the loose ends that his fellows probed at. And the mysteries comes down from God as the word of God and reveals the entire revelation of God. When the Godhead and everything else is settled, all the mysteries, serpent seed and whatever more, to be revealed. Now you see, I'm just not making that up. See, it's thus said the Lord. And I'll read it out of, or read it to you out of the book. The sounding of the seven angels' message, the mystery of God should be finished, that has been declared by his holy prophets. That's the prophet who has wrote the word. At the sounding of the seventh church age, the last church age, all the loose ends that through these church ages have been probed at will be wound up together. And when the seals are broke and the mystery is revealed, down comes the angel, the messenger, Christ, setting his foot upon the land and upon the sea with a rainbow upon his head. Now remember, this seventh angel is on the earth at the time of his coming. End of quote. Very important. You see what he says? At the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus, his head is with a cloud and a rainbow around his head and so on, that the seventh angel is on the earth, that Laodicean, that angel to the seventh church age. So can we go back to February 28, 1963 that we talked about last week, about this cloud that appeared in the Arizona desert with the face of the Lord Jesus Christ appearing? Didn't the Bible say? To me, I believe that was the fulfillment of Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. That was the angel of the covenant. Amen. Now, it's not the corporeal body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that body that he went up with. He's now coming in the form of the angel of the covenant. He is still to come when he bursts that eastern skies and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That is still to come. And he is still to come when he comes in the New Jerusalem, when he comes with his bride to settle in that holy city, the New Jerusalem. Now, we talked about before that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, like how he walked upon the earth after his resurrection, we don't believe that he's going to actually walk the earth yet, because the earth has to be clean. And we're talking about the millennium. Amen. We went through all that. We spoke about all that now. So That's the end of quote here. Now, praise God. Now, let's read on. Paragraph 49. Now, notice, seven seals on the book. These seven seals has the book sealed. See? The book is absolutely sealed. Do you see it? The book is absolutely a sealed book until the seven seals is broken. It is sealed up with seven seals. And I interject, last time we spoke about, you know, a few Sundays ago, about the scroll with the seven straps. Amen. We call it a strap. Continuing the quote. And that's different from the seven thunders. See? This is seven seals on the book. And the book will not be released until the message of the seventh angel. See? We are presuming, but the genuine revelation of God will be made perfect in that sounding and vindicated truth. Now, that's exactly what the word said. The mystery should be finished at that time. And the seven seal book, remember, it was closed here in Revelation chapter 5. And in Revelation chapter 10, it is open. Now, we're going to see that the Lamb says about how it become open. And it's not made known until the Lamb takes the book and breaks the seals and opens the book. See? The Lamb got to take the book. It's his. Now remember, no man in heaven, no man on earth, pope, bishop, cardinal, state, presbytery, or whosoever, he can break them seals or reveal the book but the Lamb. And we have presumed and stumbled and wondered. And that's the reason we are all in such a confusion. But when the divine promise that this book of redemption will be perfectly opened by the Lamb, and the seals thereof will be loosed by the Lamb in the last days in which we are living now, and is not made known until the Lamb takes the book and breaks the seal. Because remember, the book was being held in the hands of him that sat upon the throne. And the Lamb comes to him that sits upon the throne and takes the book out of his right hand and takes the book. Amen. End of quote. Praise God. So what we are seeing is that now the Lamb has took the book and is breaking the seals. And now we have went through six seals and now we are on the seventh seal. The Lamb breaking the seventh seal. Now Brother Branham says that Lamb, when he broke the seventh seal, he said he didn't understand. He can't explain it. He said it's a revelation. He said he tried to explain the third pearl and he couldn't. The angel told him, no one will understand it. You can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. You have to let them grow. And the only time we could learn supernatural things is when it comes directly from God as a revelation. Just as Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Jesus didn't tell him that verbally. No man told him that. But what it was because Peter got a revelation from his Father, which is in heaven. Amen. And this revelation of the seventh seal, how it ties into the seven thunders, how it ties into the third pull, how it ties into the speaking the word, how it ties into the sword of the spirit, how it ties into that little room there, how all this ties in, how it ties into the coming of the Lord. Amen. Comes by a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing who he is, knowing what he likes, knowing how you can please him, and knowing how you can live for him. Praise God, amen, amen, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. So we hear Brother Branham talk about in the first seal, he talk about all these angels, sounding the gospel trumpet all through the seven ages, about Wesley and then Luther, and then coming down to Pentecost with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And there can't be no more ages after Laodicea age. And Brother Bram said, we found by studying in the scripture that the messenger of the age must come at the very end of the age every time. Paul came at the end of his age. And we find that Irenaeus came at the end of his age, and Martin and so on. And at the end of the Pentecostal age, we knew that the prophet came at the end of the Pentecostal age. Amen. Hallelujah. And he went overlapped from the Pentecostal age. Amen. Right into the bride age. Amen. Praise God. And what is the bride age? The bride age spans comes from Laodicea church age into the millennium, and then goes all the way into the end of time. The bride age flows straight into eternity. And what's the bride age? The bride age is a manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ in his believers, in his sons and daughters, in his bride. Amen. Glory to God, amen. Praise God. She's going to be a power to be reckoned with after the tribulation, after the bride comes riding in from chapter 19, Revelation 19, coming down to take the false prophet, coming down to take the beast, coming down to subdue the world with a power and authority of the Holy Spirit, a power and authority of God himself living in human beings, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So there we see it now, my brothers and my sisters. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's read what Brother Branham says here. The first seal, Jeffersonville, Indiana, Monday the 18th of March, 1963, paragraph 72. Quote, "Then along come the Pentecostal age, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they cabbage down to that. Now there cannot be no more ages. That's all of it. That's the Laodicea age. And we found in the studying of the scripture that a messenger to the age come right at the end of the age every time. Paul come at the end of the age. We find that Irenaeus come at the end of the age. Martin, end of age. Luther, end of the Catholic age. And what? Wesley at the end of Lutheran age, and Pentecost at the end of the age of sanctification through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And at the end of the Pentecostal age, we are supposed to receive according to the word. As God helped me tonight to show you through here that we receive a messenger that will take all these loose ends out there and reveal the whole secret of God for the rapturing of the church. Now here's what he's going to say in the next line. Now he's talking about what? He's talking about a messenger that's going to come. That's going to show that, this is my interjection here. A messenger that's going to show the coming of the Lord and tie up all the loose ends and reveal the whole secret for the rapturing of the church. Amen. So that's what Brother Branham is saying here. But watch what he's in the next line and the next things he's going to say here. Continuing the quote. Here he says here, receive a messenger that will take all those loose ends out there and reveal the whole secret of God for the rapturing of the church. And then there's coming forth seven mysterious thunders. That's not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through these seven thunders will be revealed in these last days in order to get the bride together for rapture and faith. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There's something we got to step further. We don't have enough faith for divine healing hardly. We got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept out of this earth. And we'll find that after a while, the Lord willing, find where it is written. End of quote. So here, Brother Branham is talking about the secret. The whole secret of God for the rapturing of the church. Brother Branham is talking about Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. When the whole of heaven was silent, nothing moved, no one said anything. And here Brother Branham said, the whole secret of God, the secret of the rapture of the church. He said, what is coming forward? He says, seven mysterious thunders. Thunders are the voices of God. Amen. Speaking out something. something that could have been written, because John was about to write. Even Daniel also saw it, and I was about to write it. And he told Daniel, the prophet Daniel, no, don't write it yet. You go your way, go and sleep with your fathers, but at the end of time it shall be revealed. Amen. So what he's saying, there's got to be a rapture in faith come forth, and seven thunders will give you that rapture in faith. So something must step forward. Amen. And Brother Branham ties these seven thunders into the coming of the Lord. Brother Branham ties these seven thunders as that cloud that flung up in the air. He said he flung the seven thunders up in the air, that cloud. So Brother Branham ties it into that also. So we have to see the clue that Brother Branham leaves here. One, and another clue here, and another clue there. Now some people would say, oh, the thunders are not revealed. Some people would say, oh, the seventh seal is not revealed. Then if the seventh seal has not been revealed and laid in this end time message, then Brother Branham's message was in vain. He did not complete his message. But the Bible says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, what will happen? The mystery of God will be complete. It will be finished. Amen. So God ordained it to be that when he sent this prophet messenger, that prophet messenger will catch revelation. He'll catch a revelation of the seventh seal. He'll catch a revelation of the seven thunders. He'll catch all his revelation and he'll put it down in books and tapes. And you know, Brother Branham hinted it here. As I just read it a little while ago, it's all there in books and tapes. So if a man just want to take one piece and just preach on that and forget all the rest and doesn't tie into the other promises, then we know that we are going to eat a half a bread or a moldy bread. Amen. But we must eat the whole roll. And that whole roll must be what is revealed by the prophet messenger, Brother William Marion Branham. Praise God. Continuing the quote. And we're reading now from paragraph 167. But think, when he wrote this, but when he started to write those other seven thunders, the angel, he said, don't write it. He has been commissioned to write everything he's seen. But when these seven thunders over in Revelation 10 uttered, he said, don't write them at all. They are mysteries. We don't know what they are yet, but my opinion, they'll be revealed right away. And when it do, it will give faith for that rapture and grace for the church to move out. So here we are seeing that what the seventh thunder is going to do is going to give faith for rapture and grace for the church to move out. Now I just want to interject something here. Did you notice it is something that could have been written? Because what? Because John was about to write it. And then what is, when you write something of words that was spoken that you heard. You write something that was revealed to you that are words that you must put in a book or put on a piece of paper. So the seven thunders, when these voices uttered the seven thunders, there were things that could be written down and placed on paper, on place on a book. And Brother Abraham said, we're going to find it where it is written. In other words, there could not be something new. It must tie back into the word of the Lord. It cannot be, the Bible is the whole mystery of God. So we must find where it's hidden, where it's written. So it is something that is seven thunders utter their voices that could be written. Just as John, when he broke the first seal, John saw this white horse rider. Amen? So what he saw, this white horse rider, it was an event that was taking place. So John was able to write it and say, here is a white horse rider. Praise God, amen. So the seven thunders was something that John saw or that he could have put in words. Or there were words that could be written about those seven thunders. So let's just say it could have been, an identification that, who knows, if Brother Branham says that the seven voices is tied into those seven angel messengers, maybe John saw at the first church age. Now remember, he already written about Ephesians. He already written what is Ephesians. But you see, John didn't tie in the Ephesians with the faith. And he didn't tie in Irenaeus and the other age with virtue. So if you go back and see that there are seven spirits of God, or seven attributes of God, which is faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and godliness and brotherly love, brotherly kindness, I think I missed one, and charity. Those are the is faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly love and brotherly kindness. Amen? So these are the seven attributes of God. These were the seven spirits that came from the throne of God. Brother Branham said each one of these identify a message in the seven church ages. Amen? So John saw it in some form and he was about to write it and he said, don't write it. So continuing the quote, Brother Branham said, we don't know what they are yet. Now this was before he started to preach the seals. But my opinion, they'll be revealed right away. And when it do, it will give faith for that rapture in Greece, for that church to move out. We just moved through everything that we know of. Through all the dispensations, we have watched everything. We have seen the mysteries of God. We have seen the appearing of great gathering together of the bride in the last days. But yet there's something in there that we just cannot enlighten ourselves with. There's something another. But I imagine when the mysteries begins to come forth, God said, hold it back now. Wait a minute. I'll reveal it in that day. Don't write it at all, John. Because they'll stagger over it. Just let it go. See? But I'll reveal it in a day when it has need to be done. They never uttered, these thunders, of course, never uttered for nothing. Remember, like that little drop of ink, everything is for a purpose. Everything's for a cause. But notice, the Creator uttered, and he heard this voice, and he went to see. Amen. Praise God. End of quote. So there it is where Branham said on the first seal that he's about to see that revelation of the seven thunders, or the revelation of that seven seals. So and that seven thunders will give faith for rapture and grace. Now what is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. And you must have faith in God's unmerited favor that you will make that rapture. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So blessed be the name of the Lord. So continue on bringing back what Brother Branham says. Here's another, just a two-line quote that Brother Branham brings in the first seal, paragraph 259. But let's read. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God. Here's Brother Branham saying. Let's read to paragraph 257. Oh then, this is the first seal, Jeffersonville, Indiana. They will realize that they have killed the Messiah. He's talking about the Jews. But what will he say? The same as Joseph did. You did it to preserve life. Don't, to save life. Don't be angry with yourself. Because that the Gentiles would not have been brought in if the Jews hadn't done that blindfolded trick. So he saved the life of the church by the things they've done. So there you are. That's the reason today they can't understand it. It isn't the hour. No more we could understand these things until the time comes for it to be understood. Oh my. Now paragraph 259. Seven thunders of revelation. May he show the bride how to prepare for great translation faith. Amen. End of quote. Seven thunders of revelation. May show the bride how to prepare for a great translation faith. So here we see that the seven thunders will show the bride those words that were spoken, those events that took place or whatever it may be, will show the bride how to prepare for great translation feet. Amen? Now let's see what he says in the third poll. Jeffersonville, Indiana, the 20th of March, 1963, paragraph 43. Quote, "And when he takes this oath, seven thunders utter their voices. And the writer, which was John, was taken up and was supposed to write what he saw. He tried to write it down. He started to write it down. He said, don't write it. Don't write it. Seal it up. What in? Seal it up. See, it's to be revealed, but it's not even written in the word. And then when he began to open the seal, we find out that they were all puzzling. See, when he opened the first seal, he thought, now here he's going to say, and it will come that so-and-so will take the throne and do certain this and that and the other and that. But when it was, here he went, a white horse riding, and he ride on it. Well, he had a bow in his hand, and he was given a crown after a while. He said, that's all. The Lamb turned back again and pulled another seal off. And here went out a black horse rider, and he had given a sword, and he was going to make war, and give him great power and take peace from the earth, and kill one another. And it was still a mysterious thing, wasn't it, when he opened it up. And then goes on, in the day just before the seven thunders, all the mysteries here are revealed. Now look, we find out that we've been studying that down there through the ages. We have had reformers and prophets, reformers, and each office carries his own work. Just like a man that is a telephone operator. He isn't exactly an electrician. He might do a little job at it. But if he is a lineman, why, he certainly. A man that's a post hole digger and never did any line work, he better keep off the line. But he might do a little patch up or something. But when the real thing comes, to be revealed at the last day of the last part of the church, is when God has said that he would send it to us according to the scripture, and we have searched it through that he predicted that the spirit of Elijah will return in some person. So, end of quote. So here we see in Brother Bram saying that Elijah in this last days will reveal all that mystery. Amen. And we could continue on the fourth seal and so on. We talk about a white horse rider and so on. Praise God. Let's read. Praise God. The fourth seal, Jeffersonville, Indiana, the 21st of March, 1963, paragraph 45. John never saw it. The announcement, when it first came forth, he said, a white horse went forth. He had a rider on him, had a bow in his hand. That's a symbol. That isn't revealed, see? No, it's just a symbol. And as far as any man upon the earth, that's all he could. That's right. He might stumble and stagger, no doubt hit something here or there, and after a while. And we find out then that in the book of Revelation, of the seven angels' message, the mysteries, all the mysteries of it, should already be revealed by that time. Now that's Revelation 10, 1 to 7. And it should be revealed according to that time, at the time when he did. Then the seven thunders utter their strange voices. John was going to write it. John knew what it was, but he didn't write it, because he was forbidden to write it. That's absolutely and altogether a mystery. It's not even a symbol or nothing. We just know it thundered. That's all. Paragraph 179. And now we had him coming last night with his great sword to kill. We find out that he gets killed with a sword, and that's the Antichrist, of course. The sword of the word of the Lord. God's word sharp. Two-edged sword slays him. Puts him right down. Wait until them seven thunders utter their voices to that group. Who really can take the word of God and hand it there. It will slice and cut. They can close the heavens. They can shut this or do that. Whatever they want. Glory. Let's read that again. Wait until those seven thunders utter their voices to that group who really can take the word of God and hand it there. It will slice and cut, and they can close the heavens. They can shut this or do that, whatever they want to. Glory. He will be slain by the word that proceeds from his mouth. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. They could call for 100 million tons of flies if they wanted to. Amen. Whatever they say is going to happen because it's the word of God coming from the mouth of God. God always, it's his word, but he always uses man to work it. God could call for them flies down in Egypt. And he said, Moses, that's your job. I'll just tell you what to do and you do it. He really done that, see? He could have chosen the sun to call them. He could have caused the moon to call them or the wind to call them. But he said Moses and he chose his men. Amen. So end of quote. So here we are seeing. He said, wait till the seven thunders utter their voices. It was slice and cut. They could close the heavens. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And they said that the beast will be slain by the word that proceeded from his mouth, from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. And that Lord Jesus is coming in his bride, riding on white horses, Revelation 19. So what are we seeing here? Could it be, I'm looking at this, my brother. This sounds like when the bride of Jesus Christ is going to come to subdue the earth. Amen. Going to take over to set up that millennium kingdom. It will be Christ and the bride. Amen. Coming in to take Satan and bind Satan. Amen. There's only one that could bind Satan, and that's the word of God. And the word of God is now riding out of heaven on white horses to bind Satan, to bind the false prophet, to bind the beast, to bind every demon. Amen. Hallelujah. This sounds like they're taking over in the millennium. Amen. To set up the millennium period after the tribulation period. Amen. Praise God. End of quote. Praise God. I just read the last part of the quote where he chooses men. Amen. So then we think about the seven church ages. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Let's just read the seven church ages. 1954, Jeffersonville, Indiana. Wednesday, the 12th of May, 1954. Now listen, another angel comes, another scripture comes to me. Daniel said, when he said close, now when he seen this angel come down with a rainbow over his head, put 1 foot on the sea and one foot on the land and one in the sea, and held up his hands and swore by him that lives forever. And when those seven thunders uttered their voices, he said, seal it up, not known until the last day, he said, but the time this mystery of God should be finished, when these will be revealed to the church. And he swore by him that lives forever and forever, that time should be no more. Listen what he said there then. He said, go thy way, Daniel. So hold it 1 second. I just want to interject here. Daniel saw also Revelation 10. This is what Brother Branham is saying here. He said, listen what he said there then. Go thy way, Daniel. Seal up the book. He said, for these stars, amen. He said, tell Daniel, seal up the book. And wait in your lot. Oh my, so Daniel saw the seven thunders, Brother Branham said. Daniel heard the seven thunders. Could it be that Daniel saw this angel that came down from heaven with a cloud on his head, amen, and swore time shall be no more? Daniel was probably about to write those seven voices uttered, because that was something that would transform the human being. That seven thunders was that voices that would give rapture and faith. That seven thunders were those voices that will show the bride how to prepare for great translation faith. And what is translation faith? Translation faith is the change of the body. Hallelujah. Daniel saw it. Oh my. Continue to quote. Hear what Brother Branham says. Listen what he said there then. He said, go thy way, Daniel. Shut the book. See? For thou shalt rest, and you shall stand in the last days in your lot. But many of those who turn away to righteousness shall outshine the stars forever and forever. There you are. Here's Brother Branham. Listen closely to this. There you are. Stars. Those seven ministers. Seven ministers. Through seven church ages. Which consist of 2,000 years. As we said, hold it 1 second. Are you seeing what Brother Branham is saying? Brother Branham said the seven thunders uttered his voices. He was about to write. Daniel was about to write, but God wouldn't let Daniel put it in a book there yet. But hear what Brother Branham is linking. Those seven thunders uttering their voices, seven ministers through seven church ages. So the revelation of the seven thunders, that are the seven voices, or the seven church age messenger sounding out seven virtues, amen, of second, First Peter, I believe it was. Amen. Where is faith and virtue and knowledge? Here it is, Brother Abraham, linking those voices as the messages of the seven ministers through the seven church ages. Amen. So the seven voices. Amen. The seven thunders are the seven voices. Now you may disagree with me, but I am not saying that. I'm not saying that because some man step up first and say, I saw it first, so I'm the one that is saying it. No, 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 no. Brother, sister, here Brother Branham is saying it. Way back then, in the Seventh Church Age book, 1954, here he's saying that these stars, these seven messengers, these seven ministers, these seven church ages, amen, that consist of 2,000 years, those are that seven thunders uttering their voices. Amen, many, many men. This is what Brother Branham said. Let's continue in the quote. So from the first 2,000 years, the antediluvian destruction. Second 2,000 years, the first coming of Christ. The third 2,000 years, the sixth, is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the millennium, the end, which is the seventh day rest. Then let's look at end of quote. Look at this quote here now also. From the Revelation Book of Symbols, Jeffersonville, Indiana. Sunday the 17th of June 1956, paragraph 64. But remember, Daniel was told by the angel. Daniel heard seven thunders. They uttered their voices. Daniel grabbed his pen and started to write. And the angel said, don't you write it. Are you ready? Just let's look for it for about next 5 minutes, will you? Listen, don't you write it. John saw the same thing, and it had already been written outside of the Bible and had seven seals on the back of the book that no man could open these seals. That was them voices. There's the Bible written, which is the mystery itself, here's the Bible written, which is a mystery itself. But on the back side of the Bible, the revelations was shown to Daniel, say that there are seven voices to be uttered that no man could open. No man knew what it was. That the Bible said and told Daniel and also John that in the last days these seven voices would be made known to the real true church. You get it? Can you see where the false and counterfeit is trying their best to keep great men from places like that? Amen. And Brother Branham goes on to say now, how can you get in there? That's the end of the quote, sorry. How can you get into that revelation? How do you know what he said? Can you be haughty or puffed up or be some this and that? I am the one that got the seven thunders. I'm going, I'm saying me. God reveal it to me. But you know what? God reveal it to the prophet. And to everyone who goes in the Bible and sees what God has written and see what God has said in a revealed word of the hour. Here I've just laid it out to you. I don't have to prove it no more. Brother Branham said it. Amen. Here is where it is written. The revealed word of the hour. Praise God. Is this the sign of the answers? Jeffersonville, Indiana. The 30th of December 1962 evening service, paragraph 428. Every one of you, cleanse all your heart, lay aside everything, every weight, keep it out of your way. Don't let nothing bother you. Don't be scared. There's nothing to be scared about. If Jesus is coming, it's the very moment that the whole world has groaned and cried for. If there's something breaking forth now for a new coming of a new gift or something, it would be wonderful. if it's come in time for that, the revelation of the seven thunders will be revealed to the church, how to go. I don't know. I just stated what I saw. Oh my, what a time. It's serious and solemn thinking. End of quote. Here's Brother Branham. If it's come in time that the revelation of the seven thunders will be revealed to the church, how to go. So there he's linking. Here he's linking. Right here. The revelation of the seven thunders into the coming of the Lord. Amen. That's where I got it here. The seventh seal. The seven thunders under the seventh seal. Here it is. Brother Branham ties it to the coming of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, amen. So let's read the Ephesian Church Age, Jeffersonville, Indiana, the 5th of December, 1960, paragraph 39. As Daniel heard the seven thunders and forbidden, and John heard the voices, and this book was sealed, and the back of the book was sealed with seven seals. But in the days of these seals will be opened, the mystery of God would be finished. In other words, now listen closely, God would be known to his church, not in three people, but as one person. The mystery of God would be revealed. And when that was completely revealed, then the seven mysteries would open to the church, because in there the church would be living under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, him moving in and out, showing his signs of being alive among us, living among us. And we are then worshiping the living Christ that's among us. End of quote. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There it is. After we recognize the Holy Spirit is moving in the church, revealing these mysteries of who God is. Not three persons, but one person. God. Amen. The Logos, Jesus Christ, and God in you. Amen, amen, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God revealing himself. God revealing himself. Praise God. Not as three people, but God himself as one. Praise God. Hallelujah. And there we go. I'm now in page 11, believe it or not. As usual, cannot read all these quotes. There's so much. I go to part four. It's going to be so much. It's so inspiring this morning. So inspiring this morning. God granting unto me such a grace this morning. And I would suggest you should read this book or listen to this tape. Is This the Sign of the Answers? It is in the 30th of December, 1962 evening service, where Brother Branham prophesied of the opening of the seventh seal. Prophesy of the opening of the seven seals. Prophesy of the opening of the revelation of the seven thunders. And there he identified. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Here's Brother Branham. Let's read one portion. Is This the Sign of the Answers? Jeffersonville, Indiana. 30th of December, 1962 evening service. Sunday. Paragraph 367. Now he's relating all his visions and his dreams that he had of these seven angels meeting him. Paragraph 367, quote, "The other angels was messengers, men of earth. But this angel, these that said to the angel of the Laodicea, to the angel of Ephesus, messengers of the earth." See, men, messengers, prophets and so forth to the church. "But this one didn't come from the earth. He come down from heaven, because the mystery is all finished. When the mystery is finished, the angel said, time shall be no more. And the seven angels throw their voices, and the seven thunders throw their voices out." Let me just read that over again. "But this one didn't come from earth," the angel. "He came down from heaven, because the mystery is all finished. And when the mystery is finished, the angel said, time shall be no more. And the seven thunders throw their voices out. What if it's if it is something to let us know how to enter into rapture in faith? Is it? Will we run, leap over walls? And is there something fixing to happen? That these old, mad, vile bodies are going to be changed? Can I live to see it? Brother Bram said, "Oh Lord, is it that I'll see it? Is this the generation? Sirs, my brethren, what time is it? Where we are at?" Amen. It may be closer than you think. Praise God. It might be closer than you think. It's got me scared. Oh, I haven't done enough. Where are we? Time shall be no more. He announces that time is over. What happens? What happens? Could it be now, brethren? Seriously think. If it is, then the pyramid is capped by the seven thunders. Remember the pyramid message? The capstone? What did it do? The Holy Spirit capped off the individual and sealed it. When we added to our faith righteousness and virtue and knowledge, and godliness and faith and so forth, and keep adding till we got seven things. And the seventh one was love, which is God. That's how he makes the individual and caps him and seals him with the Holy Spirit. And if that is so, he got seven church ages, that he had had seven mysteries that had been sounded away. I interject right here. Sounded what? Thundered away. And they continue the quote. And they fought for to bring back. And now the headstone comes to cap off the church. Thus the thunders mean that, my brethren? Sir, is this where we are? Amen. Paragraph 390. Is this the mystery of the thunders that will bring back the headstone? You know the pyramid was never capped. The headstone is yet to come. It has been rejected. Could it be, brethren, sisters? Oh, is this that third pull that he told me about 4 or 5 years ago? The first pull you remembered. What happened? I had to explain it. I tried to explain it, he says. He said, don't do that. The second pull, don't try it. I pulled, and anyhow, you remember? All you have to remember, it's on tape and everything. And then he said, now there's a third pull coming. Don't try to explain it. You'll see how I approach this tonight. I don't know, but I feel duty bound to my church to say something. To draw, you draw your own conclusion. End of quote. So here Brother Branham is saying, the pyramid message, it is the capstone. He said this, and that he referring to the seven, you know, the seven virtues that were preached in the statue of a perfect man. He said, does the thunders mean that, my brethren, to bring back the headstone? So he is identifying, he's linking right here the seven church ages with the seven voices, with the seven messengers, with the capstone, with the seven thunders. Here it's all linked here, my brother and my sister. Amen. I'm just reading the quote. Brother and sister, you draw your own conclusion according to what Brother Branham says here. What is it? Your Father in heaven will reveal unto you the secret. Amen. Why? Because you are a member of his bride. You are a member of his body. Amen. You will know that mystery. It will be revealed to you in individual. It's all written here in the word. Now Satan doesn't understand this. You know why? Why would Satan not understand it? Because it is what? It is the very life of Jesus Christ. All he's seeing is what he sees is a physical manifestation of faith, physical manifestation of virtue, physical manifestation all the way to brotherly love, brotherly kindness. But do you know there are people out in the Himalayas mountain up there, these sadhus and all these people who far display far more of these virtues than you and I could ever have. They display it, but what is the difference? You must add it by the operation of the Spirit. It must be spiritually discerned. It must be through Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's how it must be. It must be divinely revealed. Amen, amen, amen. Divinely revealed. Hallelujah. Praise God. And these seven thunders, must be made manifest. Remember that quote in Influence, and I'm running out of time, I can't read it, where Brother Branham says that, you know, that what would happen when these thunders are revealed? He said, what would happen? It would make a church that would start a revival here in Phoenix, that people come from all over Europe and wherever, and say there's a place in Arizona called the Maricopa Valley, a city called Phoenix. There's something broke out there until the seven thunders of Revelation 10 that's not even wrote in the Bible is being manifest. And what Brother Abraham said? He said, it's the power of God. It's the end time. Amen. That's what it is. It's Jesus Christ living in the individual member of the bride of Jesus Christ. It is something we're looking for, brother. Something we're looking for, sister. And I'm kind of skipping all these quotes. And let's get down to the, as we would say, to the meat and the potatoes. We'll get down to what someone would say, the real quotes that Brother Branham is a lot, so I'm have to skip a lot. Oh, praise God. Then Brother Branham talking about Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. He said, we must remember that the seventh seal is the end of all things. That's right. Now, this is at the seventh seal, Jeffersonville, Indiana, the 24th of March, 1963, evening service. And I'll be quickly making quotes out of them, seeing that they're out of the seventh seal book and the seventh seal, because time has run out on us. Quote, paragraph 229, last part. We must remember that the seventh seal is the end of all things. That's right. The things written in the seven seal book seal up the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. It every bit count ends. It is the end. It is the end of the struggling world. It is the end of struggling nature. It is the end of everything. In there is the end of the trumpets. It is the end of the vials. It is the end of the earth. It's even the end of time. Time runs out. The Bible said so. Revelation 7 chapter, 10 chapter, and the first to the 7 verse. Time rounds out. He means Revelation chapter 10. The angel said, time will be no more. Then in the days of this great thing to happen, everything runs out at this time. The end, at the end of this seventh seal. Amen. Paragraph 2. And paragraph 223. And it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seventh seal. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. It even ends the ushering of the millennium. That's on the seventh seal. It's just like firing a rocket into the air. And that rocket explodes here. And it goes up. And then it explodes again. And it puts out 5 stars. One of these stars explodes. And blows out 5 stars after that. And then one of them stars explodes. And blows out 5 stars from it. See? It fades on out. That's what the seventh seal. It just ends the time of the world. It ends the time of this. It ends the time of that. It ends the time for this. It ends the time. Everything is just ended up in the seventh seal. Now, how is he going to do it? That's what we don't know. Isn't it? We don't know. It's even the time for all these things. And the ushering of the millennium. Notice, the breaking of the seal was so great that heaven was hushed up by a silence for the space of 30 minutes. Now, is that great? What is it? It was hushed. Heaven. There wasn't anything moved for 30 minutes. Now, a 30 minutes might not be long if you're having a good time. But in the suspense between death and life, it seemed like a millennium. It was so great. Jesus never mentioned it. None of the rest of them. John couldn't even write of it. No, he was forbidden to write it. See? He just didn't write it. It's just in silence. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So nothing took place. End of quote. Nothing took place. No angels singing. No praises. No one. Nothing happening. Amen. There was silence in heaven. Now remember what it says here. And this just struck me. Let's just read it 1 second. Something just struck me here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's read this. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. My. No, the Bible did not say there was silence on earth. The Bible said there was silence in heaven. Now let's think about this. If God wanted us to say that there was silence in heaven and on earth, because he said all power is given unto me from in heaven and on earth. Jesus said all power, praise God, is given unto me on the heaven and on the earth. God, yea is yea. His nay is nay. His word stands sure. And he would not leave out something that is critically important for his bride. He revealed it unto the Lord Jesus. He gave it unto John. John wrote it exactly how he saw it. There was silence in heaven on for the space of half an hour. So my. So then there was something. Glory to God. I feel good about this. There was something tremendous going on upon the earth then. Praise God. Hallelujah. There was silence in heaven, but there was something going on upon the earth that was, oh my, that the angels were so awed about, that everyone in heaven was so awed about, that they stopped harping, that they stopped singing, they stopped blowing whatever praises on, they stopped even praising God, because there was something taking place upon the earth when that seventh seal was broken and it was revealed. Oh, glory to God, amen. So there was not silence upon the earth. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God, amen. Now it's going to be revealed what was happening. It is written in the word what was happening upon the earth. Brother Branham says that seventh seal, it was one fool. I have all the quotes. That is what it's. It was seven thunders uttering its voices. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, praise God. Let's read this. Praise God. Amen. The Lamb breaks the seal, of course. There is silence in heaven when we see what was taking place. Now, when that seventh seal was strap was pulled open, what happened? Now the book is open. Now we could see what is in the book. Now we could see the revelation that was written in the book. The scroll has now opened. We can open up the scroll and see what is in the book. And what is in the book, Brother Branham says, is the book of redemption. Is a book of every name. Amen. That book of redemption. The book was what? The title deed to the earth. Amen. So it's no longer in heaven. The book now is upon the earth. Because the angel stand in heaven, stand upon the earth and upon the sea with an open book. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So that seventh seal is tied into Revelation chapter 10. Amen. Verses 1 to 7. Or 1 to 6, there it is. Revelation, tied in. 1 to 7, sorry. So there we see what was taking place upon the earth. Amen. Praise God. Brother Bram said the seven thunders did not utter from heaven. It uttered from the earth. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Let's read the seventh seal, paragraph 245. Now, none of us know, but I'm going to tell you my revelation of it. I'm not prone to be a fanatic. If I am, I'm ignorant of it. See, I'm not given away to such as luscious or carry on and imaginary things. I've said some things might have been kind of strange to some people. But when God comes down around it, behind it, and vindicates it, and says it is the truth, then that's God's word. It may seem strange that way. See? And now, as certain as I stand on the platform tonight, I had the revelation that revealed it's a threefold manner. And I interject one second here. Here it is, Brother Branham says, he had the revelation of the seventh seal and the seven thunders. It's here he says, it's in a threefold manner that I will speak to you by God's help of a fold of it. And let's go over here first. Here's a revelation to begin. I want to tell you what it is. What happens is that those seven thunders that he heard thunder and was forbidden to ride, that's what the mystery is laying behind those seven consecutive thunders rolling out. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. End of quote. Brother Branham was now tying in the seven thunders under the seventh seal. Paragraph 249. Now why? Let us prove it. Why? It is a secret that no one knows about. John was forbidden to write about it, even write a symbol about it. Why? This is why there was no activity in heaven. It might give away the secret. Do you see it now? It's so great it must be included. Because it's got to happen. When the seven thunders, praise God, I interject you 1 second here. Brother Branham identified no activity in heaven because it will give away the secret that was taking place upon the earth. Amen. Oh, he didn't want the devil to get a hold of it. But now we're understanding. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, that although there was silence in heaven, there was activity upon the earth. Oh, praise God. What? It is the seven thunders manifested itself in believers, bring them into raptured faith. It is the coming of the Lord. Oh, no one knows the day nor the hour. Oh, blessed be, not even Satan can even fathom what day is going to come, what day is going to be. And he doesn't know when it's going to happen. He sees it in the word that such and such going to take place, but he does not know when it's going to happen. The thing that Satan cannot create that's one. The thing that Satan cannot do, he cannot love. No, he could impersonate it with lust, but he cannot become love. He could try to manifest every one of these virtues here or pervert it, but he cannot manifest the love of God. Amen. That is that mystery. And by having all these virtues living in you, thundering out to you, you will come to that perfection. Amen, amen. Continuing the quote. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now this is why there was no activity in heaven. It might give away the secret. Do you see it now? If it's so great, it must be included because it got to happen. But when the seven thunders, now notice, when the seven angels come forth to sound their trumpets, there was one thunder. When Israel was gathered, there was a trumpet. When time shall be no more, the last trumpet, one thunder. But there was seven, there is seven straight thunders right in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That perfect number. Seven thunders in a row, uttered. Not making just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No. Straight. Continue the quote. Not 2, 3, 4, 5. Straight. Then heavens couldn't write that. Heavens couldn't know about it. Nothing else. Because there's nothing to go on. It's relaxing time. It was so great till it kept secret from the angels. Why? If Satan should get a hold of it, he might do great damage. There's one thing he doesn't know. He can interpret anything he wants to and impersonate any kind of a gift. I hope you're learning. But he cannot know this. It's not even written in the word. It's a total secret. The angels, everything shut up. If they make one move, it might give something away. So they just shut up. Quick happen. Everything stopped. Praise God. End of quote. So what Brother Bram said, Satan doesn't know. What did he didn't know? He didn't know that Jesus Christ was the Son of the Living God. He did not know that he was the Messiah that was going to lay his life down and raise up from the dead. Otherwise, he would not have tried to kill him. Satan did not believe that he was the Son of God. He didn't believe that. He didn't believe that he was the Logos that come out of God in human skin. And in the same way, Satan is not going to believe that you will become the Word of God. Amen. You will become the bride of Jesus Christ, the feminine part of the Logos. You are part of the Logos. No, you're not the complete Logos, because the complete Logos is the bride and the groom. But you are part of that Logos. You are eternal. He does not believe that. Satan does not believe that you're a son and a daughter of God with power like your father. Satan does not believe that. He does not believe that you could manifest every single word of God that is written in the scripture. Faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience. And godliness and brotherly love, brotherly kindness. He does not believe that. He cannot interpret it. He cannot impersonate the true living word of the living God living through a mortal being. He cannot. If he could, then he would have been our brother. But he cannot. He's our adversary. He has come, make his decision. Way back before the foundation of the world, he made that decision. Satan, when Satan was created, he made that decision to turn away from God and to make himself God. He saw the Logos and he saw the feminine part of the Logos and wanted to be like God. Amen. Let's read the seventh seal. Paragraph 255. God's perfect number, 7. 7. Just right down the row. 7 thunders uttered straight together, like they were spelling out something. Notice, at that time, John started to write, and he said, "Don't write." Jesus never spoke of it. John couldn't write it. Angels knew nothing about it. What is it? It's the thing that Jesus said even the angels of heaven don't know nothing about. He didn't know it himself and said only God knew it. But he told us when we begin to see these signs. Now you're getting somewhere? All right. Notice, we see these signs coming up. See if Satan get a hold of it. Amen. End of quote. But what you are saying here, not even angels know. Not even Jesus knew while he was on the earth. And what is that? The coming of the Lord. When exactly that day and that hour he's going to come. No one knows it. Not even the angels. But now when Christ is risen from the dead, God gave unto him the revelation of what must surely come to pass. So the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. The seventh seal is that mystery. Now the coming of the Lord, as Brother Abraham said, that seventh seal is like a rocket. So the coming of the Lord is just one part of that. But what is the other part of it? It's the third pole manifestation. Then what's another part of that seventh seal? That seventh seal is the seven thunders uttering his voices to that group. Amen. And what is that other part of the seventh seal? The seventh seal is the mystery of Christ in the bride, her manifesting his very works by living out his very life, by demonstrating his very power and authority upon the earth. Amen. That's the seventh seal. And what is the seventh seal? It's the third pull. What's that third pull? It's the change of the body. What's that third pull? It's the speaking of the word of God coming from the mouth of God in the believer. Amen. That's the seventh seal. That's what we're talking about it. Satan couldn't get a hold of it because it's all wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. He still doesn't understand it because it's a manifestation of God himself in the individual. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother Bram said Satan will try to impersonate. He will try to impersonate anything the church will do. He tried to do it. We have noticed it through the Antichrist. But this is one thing that he cannot impersonate. There'll be no mimics to the sea because he don't know it. There's no way for him to know it. It's the third pull. He knows nothing about it. He doesn't understand it. End of quote. So right at this point here, Brother Branham originally stopped the tape. Amen. And then went into the motel room and then spoke to two brothers. And he recorded something else to put in this, added to that tape and took out this other portions, some of these portions we're going to read here. But what Brother Branham is saying, he said Satan could impersonate anything. He could have what a church could do, but he cannot impersonate this. He does know nothing about it. And one of the things that Satan cannot do, he cannot impersonate, is to create. Satan cannot create. There's only one who could create, and that's the Logos. Whether it be a part of the Logos, you, my brother, my sister, will have that power of the Lord Jesus Christ in you that you could create. Amen. Just like Brother Branham, who in the power of the Holy Spirit created those squirrels, it will be upon you, but Satan cannot do that. He could impersonate things, but he cannot create. He does not know how to do it. He knows nothing about it. He doesn't understand it. You know why? Because he was a created being. And a created being cannot create. We were not created. We were part of God before the foundation of the world. We were in the mind of God. We were a part of God. We are part of the Logos. We identify ourselves there with that word. We are the word of God. We are the feminine part of the Logos. Amen. Just as Eve came out of Adam. Amen. On the cross of Calvary. The Gentile bride of Jesus Christ came out of his side. She is that representative of that Logos. She is that feminine part of him. Together they are the Logos. Together they are the eternal one. Praise God, that came out of God, the Son, together. Not by herself, but by herself, she could identify with that word. By herself, she could manifest every power, every authority. She could speak the word. It will flash like lightning. It will take place. She could close the heaven. She could shut the rain. Speak the word. There'll be lightnings. There'll be thunders. She could speak the word. Then there'll be salvation. She could speak the word. And there will be the word of God manifesting itself in whatever you want. I gave unto you. Why? Because she pleased her husband to be. She pleased her father. And because she's pleasing to her father, just as that voice thundered on Mount Transfiguration and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased to dwell." There were three words added. Three words added. The three words was, "Hear he him." In the same way, the Holy Spirit, the great God of heaven, will overshadow the bride and say, "This is my beloved bride in whom I'm well pleased to dwell. Hear he her." She will speak the word. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. So reading a quote again here. Brother Branham said, "Now Satan will try to impersonate it." This comes from the seventh seal. Paragraph 258, latter part, 260. He will try to imperson anything that the church will do. He tried to do it. We have nothing. We have noticed it through the Antichrist. But this is one thing he cannot impersonate. There will be no mimics to this. See? Because we don't know it. He don't know it. There is no way for him to know it. It's the third pull. He just knows nothing about it. See? He doesn't understand it. Now here's the part. Brother Branham originally spoke in the seventh seal, paragraph 261. Now, praise God. Praise God. Amen. But there's a secret that lays beneath that. Glory to God in the highest. I can never think the same the rest of my life. When I'd seen, Brother Branham said, "Now I don't know. I know the next step there, but I don't know what, how to interpret that. It won't be long. I got it wrote down here where it happened, when it happened. If you can stop here, if you can see here, stop. Go no further than this right here. No, I'm not prone to be a fanatic. I'm just telling the truth. But you remember the little shoe that always tried to explain. And I can just go down because of time. This is that third pole, the angel said. And no one will know about it. They are perfectly the truth. Now notice, God help me, I tell you the truth. But there's this great secret that lies beneath the seal. I do not know. I don't know it. I couldn't make it out. I couldn't tell just what it is, just what it said. But I know it was them seven thunders uttering themselves right close together, just banging seven different times. And it unfolded into something else that I'd seen. And when I seen that, I looked for the interpretation that flew across there. And I couldn't make it out. That's exactly right, friend. See, the hour isn't quite yet for it. But it's moving into that cycle. See, it's coming up close. So the thing for you to do is to remember that I speak to you in the name of the Lord. Be prepared, for we don't know what time now this would happen. End of quote. And we run out of time today. Praise God. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you can read the seventh seal book, you would see Brother Bram record what he recorded in a motel room about the whole earth will be purged and the millennium and so on. And what the Jews, and he explained a little bit of the seventh seal. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me just read one more portion here. Sorry, I'm keeping you a little bit longer, but this is so important. I have to read these last few quotes. Hear what Brother Branham says. We're reading the seventh seal. Now, this is the part he recorded in the motel room. Paragraph 394. Now, there was some reason that God let the seven voices be thundered, because it must come. See? We find that Christ, the Lamb, took the book in his hand and he opened the seventh seal. But you see, it's a hidden mystery. No one knows it. It's right along with what he said. No one would know his coming. Here I interject. You see, Brother Branham linked it. The seven thunders, the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. No one knows his coming. And they also would not know about the seven thunder mystery. See, it's connected together. Amen. That much we have understanding of today, because the rest of it all unfolded. But this is not unfolded. But sitting in my room, I heard this, or heard it rather, but seen it unfold to these seven thunders. Now that's as far as we could go right there. And now I trust that each and every one of you will serve God and do what that is right and love him with all your heart and serve him, and God will take care of the rest. Amen. There's some more things that Brother Bram went on later on to link, on question and answers on the seals and the question and answers, Jeffersonville, Indiana, know it or not. There's so many quotes again. I have about 4 or 5 pages. But let's look at one thing here that Brother Branham says. Praise the name of the Lord God. Hallelujah. This is the sign of the answers. Amen. Praise God, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. Sign of the answers. The 30th of December 1962, evening service, Sunday. Paragraph 416. Sunday I come here to speak, and I tried to shake myself from it by speaking Monday. It was there again, and it's here now. I don't know this, sirs. I'm only honest with you as my brothers. I don't know it is time. The time the mystery is all finished. Has the sounded all over? Is there really them seven thunders fixing to utter out something that the little group that is gathered together will receive a rapture in faith to go in the rapture when he comes? For we'll be all changed as quick as those angels come, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and shall be caught up together with those that had sleep to meet the Lord in the air. Let us pray as Brother Branham is praying here on the end. Amen. Brother Branham, say my prayer. Can we pray together? Can we close our eyes and pray together? Brother Branham says, my prayer is, God, if this be so, no, Lord, I was telling the church, if it is so, Lord, prepare our hearts. Make us ready, Lord, for that great hour that all the history of time, all the prophets and sages has looked for that time, Lord. I don't know what to say. I'd be afraid to say, don't come, Lord. I feel ashamed of myself when I look and see the world in the condition. I've done no more than I've done about it. I've done no more than what I've done about it. I'm ashamed of myself. If there's a tomorrow, Lord, anoint my heart. Anoint me, Father. Anoint me, greater Father, that I may do everything that I can to bring others to you. I am yours. I feel like Isaiah in the temple when he saw the angels fly back and forth with holy wings, their faces over, with wings over their faces and over their feet and flying wings, saying, holy, holy, holy. And Lord, how that young prophet was shook. He began to age up in a bit. And when he seen that, though he had seen visions, he screamed out, woe is me, Lord. Father, maybe I felt somewhere, somehow, that I'd seen those angels the other night, or the other morning rather. Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among unclean people. And Father, clean me. And here I am, Lord. Send me, Lord, whatever it is. And I stand at this pulpit, where I've been for 30 years. If there's something, Lord, you want me to do, here I am. I'm ready, Lord, but may I find grace in your sight. Lord, and I interject here, Lord, I'm praying that same prayer, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Send me, whatever it be, Lord. And I stand at this pulpit where I've been for 30 years. If there's something, Lord, you want me to do, here I am. I'm ready, Lord, but may I find grace in your sight, humbly I pray. I pray for the little flock that the Holy Spirit has made me oversee of, to feed them. And I've done all how to do, Lord, to feed them on the bread of life. As in that vision many years ago, where that big curtain laid in the west and the mountain of the bread of life, the little book, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And here it comes to pass, revealed right in our face, Lord. You are God, Lord. There's none other but you. Receive us, Lord. Forgive us our sins. I'm repenting of all my unbelief. For all my iniquity, I plead at the altar of God. And as I come tonight with this little church before me and those on the internet and on the hookup, Lord, by faith, we move from this building in rapture as we sit together in heavenly places around the throne of God. Our hearts have been warmed many times in the things that we have seen you do and unfold your mystery to us, Lord. But Lord, tonight, I'm all weary. Woe is me. And Jacob, when he saw those angels coming down the ladder and going back, he said, this is a dreadful place, none other than the house of God. And there Bethel was established. God, people don't understand that, Lord. They think it would be so much joy, but Lord, what a weary, what a dreadful thing for a human being to come into the presence of a great almighty being of heaven. I pray for forgiveness of my little church here that you sent me down to lead and guide. Bless them, Lord. I did according to what the visions and dreams and things had said, to the best of my knowledge. I've laid all the food that I know of, Lord, for them. And Lord, whatever it is, Lord, we are yours. We commit ourselves into your hands. Lord, be merciful unto us. Forgive us. And let us be your witnesses as long as we are on the earth. Then, when life is over, receive us into thy kingdom, for we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And as we continue praying, Father God, this ministry, O God, and this little group, Lord, that are here, Lord, and on the internet, Lord, that you have given me, Lord God, a grace to minister unto them your word. O Father, Lord God, I've tried the best that I could also, Lord. And Lord, I'm sick and weary and tired, body ache, all that stuff, but Lord, I do all that I could in my heart. Lord, I pray for them this morning, Lord. As we approach these next few months to the next blood moon that is coming upon you at another sign, help us to grow, Lord, in this inspiration of the the seven thunders revelation that you gave the prophet, Lord. Lord, many men have spoken about it, Lord, and spoken the truth. But then they have brought glory upon themselves, Lord. But we want all the glory to be pressed upon you, to be placed upon you, Lord. Forgive us our mistakes or fails or faults, Lord. And help us this morning. We are ready for duty, Lord. Lead us. Show us your way. We want to manifest your Holy Spirit under the seventh seal, even as you say we are your children. Grant it, O Lord, that we'll be humble and we pull all the glory to Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his love. And tell of his love. We'll give the glory to Jesus. And tell of his wonderful love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his love and tell of his love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful love. Amen. Hallelujah. And he careth for you. And he careth for you. Through sunshine or shadows, oh, he cared for you. One more time. And he cared for you. And he cared for you. Oh, through sunshine or shadows, and he cared for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, give you strength. Be merciful and blessing to you and your family. To all those who are listening to the sound of our voice, may God give you grace, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, for the rest of the week and until his coming. Amen and amen and amen. Let's sing our closing song, Take the Name of Jesus With You. Praise God. Oh, take the name of Jesus with you. O child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you. O take it, name wherever you go.
O precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
And take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather,
Oh, breathe His holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. The precious name of Jesus, how it thrills my soul with joy. When His loving arms receive us, and His songs or hands employ. Oh, precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. And at the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at His feet, King of kings in heaven will crown Him. When our journey is complete,
oh, precious name,
oh, how sweet.
Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless everyone. Amen.